Blog Talk Radio.
Stevie, coming to you live from the most powerful city in the world, Washington, D.C., where all the lies, liars, and secrets are held. And this is a special re-airing of the Sunday show. A lot of people wanted to listen to this show. There were some technical difficulties that prevented it. So I want to try to re-air this show, provide some new information on this particular topic. We're talking about compromising history. And this here is about the Native American tribes that are trying to fight for their respect, fight for the right for freedom, fight for the right for equality. But there's been certain things that's been going on in the country that have prevented them from doing what they need to do in order to get the success and the equality that they deserve. And I wanted to bring to light something that a lot of people may not know in the country. There actually is a Smithsonian Museum for the Native American that a lot of people may not visit, but I want to describe and I want to express some of the things that are going on with their fight and their fight for political correctness and also respect in the society. So without further ado, let's cue the music.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check. Positivity is all we need. Together we will
Love Radio, Toyland Productions, and Toyland Entertainment presents the Rod Stevie Show, your source for inspiration and information. And as always, I'm your host, Mr. Rod Stevie, thanking you each and every week for making this 30 minutes a part of your day. And we are broadcast live from the most powerful city in the world, Washington, D.C., where all the lies, liars, and secrets are held. So what we do each and every week on the Rod Stevie Show, we tell you what the lies are, we tell you who the liars are, and reveal some of the secrets so that way we can have better community. And as always, we're sponsored by Triple Mind by Rod Massage and Wellness. This is the fall season. People are preparing for them for the biggest part of their fitness lives, marathon season. So contact TranquilMindByRod.gr8.com, go to Facebook.com/TQMind, or you can contact me at 240-778-5219 to schedule your appointment for the month of October. There's different specials that are going on, so please go on to Facebook.com/TQMind to find out what those specials are, or take a look out for our newsletters if you're subscribing to our newsletters to find out what specials that we have, that way we can take care of all of your sports, fitness, relaxation, and wellness needs. And today we're talking about compromising history. So I wanted to start talking about this here. Kansas City, Missouri. The city of Kansas City is split by two, by the state line, Missouri and Kansas. And this one city in two different states is having one of the biggest weeks of their sports lives right now. Kansas City Royals are in the playoffs right now, and they embarked on what's considered one of the greatest baseball playoff games of all time. And Kansas City Chiefs, what they did, they went out and they beat the New England Patriots. Now think about this here. One, you just think of the colonizational significance of the Chiefs beating the Patriots. But then you also look at the significance of how they even do the pregame show. The Kansas City Chiefs, they have a person who appears to be Caucasian dressed up in full Sioux garb. The Sioux tribe was the most dominant tribe in Kansas back in the 1800s, early 1800s, and beyond before then. And also now they feel that the Sioux tribe is a very dominant impact on the city of on that particular city, on Kansas City. So they have a person that is Caucasian, dressed up in suit garb. He has the war paint on. He has the feathers on. He goes to 50-yard line with the spear, riding a white horse, acting like he's like Geronimo or Raging Bull or somebody like that. The fans of Kansas City do what they call the tomahawk chop, made very popular by the Atlanta Braves and the Cleveland Indians, and this has been carried on by the Kansas City Chiefs as well. And when you look at the mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs, it's not a symbol of a person looking dominant, looking chiefly. The symbol of the Kansas City Chiefs is the tomahawk with KC going around it and feathers. That is the mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs is looked at as one of the premier leagues, the premier teams of the AFC, the premier teams of NFL, period. This was a team that helped to bring the establishment of what the NFL is currently. Now, you think of another team that was a premier league, premier team that has brought the prestige to the National Football League, and you see how they're being vilified for stuff that they're not even doing to the extreme of the city of the Kansas City Chiefs team that was prominently put on display during Monday Night Football this week. The Washington Football Team, they don't have tomahawks flying. They don't have war paint going. They don't do the tomahawk chop during the kickoff or after touchdowns. What do? They have their symbol on their helmet is a symbol of a person, we've gone through this before, a person that looks very chief-like, a person that looks very structured, a person that looks very, very established and distinguished as a person that you will want to respect and you want to fear at the same time. And that's what the Washington Football Team's emblem and logo has defined. However, there's a big push against the Washington Football Team just because of the particular, not just because of the logo, because of the name. And this is where we find this conflict. Now, this was on my mind when I was, my family and I went to the Smithsonian Museum of Native Americans. Now, for those who have never been to Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian Museum is not just one museum. A lot of people who have never been here think that the Smithsonian Museum is just one museum that has a whole conglomerate of different activities, events, archives, fossils, etc. However, the Smithsonian Museum is a conglomerate of 20 different museums spaced out throughout Washington, D.C., and there's a couple others throughout the country. But the Smithsonian Museum is an open and free museum. Now, you look at the dynamics of some of these museums. The Museum of the American History. Museum of American History does go into a lot of what happened during American history, but they do shade on a lot of things. There's a small section for the Trail of Tears. There's a small section for the Civil Rights Movement. There's a small section that's set aside for slavery. You look at the National Air and Space Museum, which is part of the Smithsonian Museum, broken up in two different cities, one in Chantilly, Virginia, one right downtown of Washington, D.C. They hit on a lot of the things that dealt with airspace, aeronautics, space exploration, but they have a small section when it comes down to the pilots of color and women pilots that defined and determined the modern-day air travel that we have today. And right next door to the National Air and Space Museum is a museum that a lot of people don't even know exists. You walk one block from the National Air and Space Museum, you see this beautiful, majestic structure, which is the Museum of the Native American, just created in all sandstone, looking like a pueblo. You got the totem poles on the outside. You have all natural herbs going around it. You have a reflecting pool, an affinity pool that just shows how nature balances with the structure of the museum. And then when you go into this museum, you have an unabashed, unbiased, unfiltered account of what happened between thousands of years before the Europeans came over to this country and the time that is current, where the native tribes that have existed throughout this country for hundreds, if not thousands of years, have struggled to maintain their integrity, their identity, their speech, their structure of life, their way of life, and their sanity at points on display, on full display in this museum. It gives a complete descriptive account of the different faces of the Native American, gives an account of the changes and the structure of the Native American, and it just really just hits home for those who may have Native tribes in your family, you know, may have want to learn more about the Native tribes that existed in this country prior to the European colonization. And it really displays everything that you don't get in your history books, displays you don't get on those old Westerns that you see on TV. And recently, and recently 3 weeks ago, actually as of October 1st, the Museum of the Native American has put in an exhibit that changes the filter. Basically, it creates a different dynamic when it comes down to visiting the Museum of Native American. What this particular filter does, the curated museum realized that they were not getting the traffic that they would like. And the funding that they were getting was not coming in as they expected. Now, for those who, like, once again, are not aware of how the Smithsonian Museums work, they are all free museums. They go off of donations, funding, and grants. You go into the Museum of American History, you have boxes there that are stacked to the top of different pieces of money from various countries in the world. Museum of Air and Space, stacked to the top of different currency from different countries of the world. Museum of Native American, their boxes are nowhere near as full because they don't get the volume of people that go there because it's not advertised, it's not something that people think of when they go to visit Washington, D.C., unfortunately. So what the curator of that museum felt was essential and necessary to help boost the viewership and the attendance due to turnstiles was they decided that they were going to create an exhibit in the museum that shows the compromises that were done between the European colonizers, European torturers, as I like to call them, and the Native tribes that were here prior. I think this is the wrong step. For those who are trying to fight for the rights and the equality and the recognition of the history of these Native tribes, and then to go around and turn around and say, you know what, we tried to do that in an unbiased, unfiltered way, and it wasn't working, people aren't coming in to see it, so let's find a way to show the compromises, to show how we got along with Europeans, to show how Europeans showed us stuff and we showed them stuff as well. That, I think, is the wrong way to show history. And this is not the first time this has been done. I mean, like I said earlier, you look at the history books and you see how the whole state of the transatlantic slave trade has been diluted, distorted, disrupted, and shown to have a different sight of what really happened in the history. I mean, even if you look at movies, I mean, 12 Years a Slave did a good job in trying to depict some of it. You have Django that, you know, that people look at and like, oh, see, look, there are people fighting, but you don't see the unabashed side of history. Movies like Amistad, movies like 500 Years Later, they're not being the ones that were put on display because it showed a more gripping, a more telling, a more compelling, realistic view of what happened. And this is what happens with our history books. The history books right now have been compromised to the point where people do not want to see or hear or understand what was going on in history at that particular time. Things have been so diluted where the political correctness is essential. Even our language, even the way we put things in books, had to be altered to be politically correct. If you look at some of the books that have been banned from public school libraries over the past 20 years, I would say, books like Huckleberry Finn, books like Tom Sawyer. Recently, in the newest list of banned books, you have books like Beloved and The Bluest Eye, which personally weren't my favorite books, but however, they should not be banned from the public library because of their language. They said it has too many racist views in them to be considered put in the library catalog. So you look at that particular aspect. they say that these are considered too racist to be put in the public library catalog. What if they're depicting what the author may have seen at that particular time? Huckleberry Finn used the N-word 89 times. And when you look at the particular movie, the movie changed it, and the way that American Public Books have depicted it, they wanted to change it where they took out the N-word because it was too offensive, they felt, to be put in a public library, especially with children reading the book. So think about this. How do you think that overall affects the history of this country? If you say that this happened, but we can't explain it exactly how they did it because that might be too offensive to people, what that does, that dilutes the concept and the true identity of the history that happened. When people look at the structure of the Civil Rights Movement, the life and structure of the Civil Rights Movement was put in a way recently, I'd say through the past 10, 15 years, that kind of made it seem like, oh, everything was really calm, really cool. You know, Martin Luther King went to talk to the people and everything was happy. You know, we sung songs, held hands, and everything was good. There was a little bit of brushback, but, you know, not that bad. Even when you look at today's society and the issues that are going on today, when you look at Trayvon Martin, when you look at Jordan Bell, when you look at the issues that happened in Ferguson with Mike Brown, all those different incidences have been brushed aside, pushed over, and changed to compromise the state of the true history of what has happened. When people 20 years from now look at the media of what has occurred over the last 5 years in this country, they'll think the same thing that I'm feeling. They'll think that it wasn't as bad as people who lived through it have seen now. And that's where when issues like this, when you see the Museum of the Native American compromising and changing and altering the concept of what their whole museum was about, it really plays a factor on how history is displayed. And that's not a good thing. People should be able to have an avenue to see what history is all about, what history is showing, the good, the bad, the ugly of American history. We say we love America. We say we love this is the best country in the world. We say that this country has gone leaps and bounds over all other countries to define democracy and peace and truth and justice, all this in the world. But what are we really doing? Are we really getting the true sense of what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan? Are we getting the true sense of what's going on in Western Africa with the illnesses and the raping of their society and their resources? Are we really getting a true sense of what is going on physically, mentally, and economically in our country as well? I'm not sure we are because of the fact that we're not able to try to get their true history because the history is being compromised. Everything that shows what is really going on is being destroyed. And if they're being destroyed, then how can we maintain it? That's the thing. Word of mouth can only go so far. Back in the history of Native tribes, griots, and that's Native and African tribes, griots were the way to keep the family traditions alive. The elders would pass it down to generation to generation to generation. Now our generation has become so tech savvy, they've been so brainwashed by the zombies of Apple to focus on Siri to get all the information, or focus on going to Google to get the information on the other end, that they don't hear the family history that's supposed to be passed down from generation to generation. A lot of that gets lost. And if that gets lost, then that means we're going to have a lost generation that will be teaching the next generation of what they perceive history was. So if the Museum of Native American, museums are meant to preserve and to control the knowledge of history. So if the Museum of Native American, for example, takes this path of showing compromise, of showing they feel that the Europeans did a great job in helping them survive, even though it was the other way around. The Native tribes helped the Europeans survive through the plight of plague and famine and illness that was going through their colonies. And then what they did in return, they wiped out the native tribe and took over their land and said, we can do whatever they can do and better, which didn't happen. Of course, we know that the Trail of Tears led to the Industrial Revolution, but we really don't hear about that. If that happens now with the Museum of Native Americans, imagine what's going to happen when the African American History Museum comes up in a couple of months. The same thing. They're going to come out with probably an unabashed, unbiased view of what history is all about. But eventually, when the people aren't coming in June, July, and August, during the peak of tourist season, people aren't going out to those particular venues, then they're going to have to make changes. And it's sad and unfortunate that the Museum of Native American had to feel that they had to go this route in order to maintain turnstile viewers. So what can we do as a country, as society, as community to realize this is important to us? Well, first, we have to look at the larger picture and stop focusing on the smaller picture. Yes, okay, the Washington football team's name might not be as politically correct as people want. It might not be a strong name to put as a franchise, according to some people. Bigger picture, should we be focusing on that, or should we really be focusing on the state of Native American society in this country? Should we focus on the state of unemployment, of alcohol abuse, of drug abuse, of murders, of suicides that are going on in the Native community right now? Isn't that more important than the name of a football team that can't even win a football game? Why is that more important? Why is the NFL team name more important than the lack of citizenship rights, lack of identity rights, lack of personal estate tax rights that the Native tribes don't have? Everything is controlled under government and these little small reservations that they can't move in or out of without the government knowing. They can't have their own businesses without the government holding stake on them. They can't have their own livelihoods without the government taking a part of what they own, because that was the agreement that was done back in the 1800s when the Trail of Tears, which really wasn't an agreement. It was either you do this or you die. And that's real history. However, we're focusing on a football team and their logo. We're focusing on the name and not the identity that's behind it. We're focusing on the society that NFL thinks they're trying to lead and the culture and the society that actually lives this culture each and every day and can't get the right shape, can't get the right finances, can't get the right loans to do what they need to do to be successful as business people, as regular civilians, as social workers, as different ways to help and build their community. That's what we need to focus on. This is the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment, and this is the problem with what I have with the concentration that government has on the Washington football team. The government is trying so hard to try to bring that particular emblem down and that particular logo down that they feel that the FCC has more bearing and more importance than the Native American Council. Native American Council should have a full say. If they don't have a full say, if the whole Native American Council says, okay, this isn't really helping us, we need to remove it, then that's one thing. But if that doesn't happen, if they say, you know what, we're more concerned about the suicide rate in our country, we're more concerned about the unemployment rate in our communities, we're more concerned about the alcohol and drug abuse that's going on in our communities and the lack of resources that the federal government is giving to us because we live on reservations, that's something that's more important than whether the Washington football team has an R on the side of their helmet or a person's face on the side of their helmet. That's more important. So the congressional leaders, quote unquote, that are trying to come out and grandstand because it's a political year, because it's an election year, and so this is something they need to jump on because they don't have a political agenda for themselves. They really need to take a look at themselves in the mirror and realize that what they're doing, they're killing people in order to make their money, make their pockets fat. So if they want to continue to kill people and make their pockets fat, then they have a problem. We have to take a stand right now. There's a month. We have exactly 1 month before we go to the polls and vote. So we have that 1 month to take a look at who's doing what, who's really talking about the issues out there, and who's really talking about a logo on an NFL helmet. Who's talking about the issues that are going on in our communities, or who's trying to play the same political points that's been there for 25 years and not think, and not change a thing. It's all about this fighting for the middle class, fighting for the job structure, fighting for blah, blah, blah. But they're not really doing anything to really help communities. If they want to help communities, take that money that they're investing in these commercials to try to stop the Washington football team from playing their logo and put that into the Native communities that are struggling right now. You take that $3, $4, $5, and $6 million that they're taking away from the Washington football team for the T-shirts. You take away the $30 to $40 million that they're taking away from the Washington football team for advertising. You take away the $60 to $70 million that they take away from the overall marketing structure of the Washington football team and put it into the communities, put it into the Seminole tribe, put it into the Oneida tribe that's been arguing about this for 30-plus years, put it into the Navajo and Sioux tribes in the West Coast. If they did that, then I wouldn't have much of a problem with what they're doing. But they're not doing that. What they're doing, they're taking the money that is going against the Washington football team, grandstanding, and trying to play the political role in order to look good for November. And that's not the way to go. So that's why I have no support over anything that these politicians are trying to do when it comes down to the what they claim is the saving of the respect and the dignity of Native tribes. TV show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland.com. Once again, thank you each and every week for making this 30 minutes a part of your day. If you have any comments on this, you can go on Facebook.com/Rodney Stevenson. You can tweet me at RST44. Once again, this is sponsored by Tranquil Mind by Vibe Massage and Wellness. You can go on Facebook.com/TQMind or go on TQMindByRod.gr8.com to find out more information on this. This Sunday, we have a really important topic. Everybody's concerned about this here. We're talking about the Ebola virus that is going on in this country. It's titled called Apocalypse Now. Is this the sign that the government is trying to do population control and trying to control the Ebola virus in certain areas? It's been happening in West Africa, and the transatlantic Ebola trade went from West Africa to communities in Texas that's predominantly African American, and now most recently in Howard University. And this is something that we have to keep an eye on, keep focus on, because if we don't keep focus on it, then we will be the ones that are going to contract this, and the zombie apocalypse will start. So that's my topic on Monday. We also have a great topic on Monday on Love Talk. Love Talk is back, and we're talking about the backup plan. This is a session that is talking about the Esquire magazine article that came out recently talking about the amount of women in relationships that have an alternate plan when it comes down to who they have affection for. So these are the two topics that are coming up this upcoming week, and we have a lot of different things we're going to talk about. There's a lot of updates that's going on. The Jordan Bell update's coming up. The civil case against George Zimmerman, we're going to discuss all that. I want to contact Dr. Weldon McWilliams in regards to what's going on in Rockland County. So there's a lot of different things that are coming up in the next few weeks. And plus, this is an election year. It's a very important election year. If you have not registered to vote, you have about 2 weeks to register to vote. So I guarantee that you need to register to vote now in order to make sure you make a difference in your community. Don't let what you feel politically, don't let what you feel when it comes down to how Congress acts or how the Senate acts define how you react when it comes down to election day. It is still important to vote. Your vote still matters. Even though they may do what they want to do when they get in there, it's important that you make your voice heard when you're voting. So make sure you register to vote. You have 2 weeks. If you need information about how your state registers to vote, you can always inbox me, and I'll give you that information. Give me your state, and I'll give you the information. But that's how we do on the Rodney Stevie Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. And until next time, we'll talk.
Intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check. Positivity is all we need. Together.